People who sit on the board of South Dakota's public retirement plan are considering changes to the pension. Those considerations include adding 2 years to the age for normal retirement. The changes would not change the plan for anyone who is already a part of the South Dakota retirement system, but they would apply to anyone new entering the program. SDPB's Keely Bultina has this conversation with Executive Director Rob Wiley.
SDRS is the name that most people know us by, and it is the consolidated retirement system for virtually every public employee in South Dakota. The plan includes not just state employees, but also employees of school districts, cities, counties, and other smaller entities. It's for many of those, it is a choice to come in, and virtually everybody who has public employees is in. City of Sioux Falls maintains a legacy plan, but their new employees in Sioux Falls even also now come into SDRS.
We're looking at changes that might be proposed to the system. Maybe first, before we talk about some of those specifics, if you could tell me why the board is considering changes.
Certainly. And this is a really good question, considering that South Dakota is probably one of the best funded public employee plans in the nation. We are currently over 100% funded. That is, we have more assets than we do liabilities in the plan. And it's not just the liabilities today, but the liabilities that we expect to pay in the form of benefits to every single member of the plan, and not just for today, but for their lifetime. So it's a wonderful position to be in. But at the same time, for a long time, we've recognized there are certain things about our plan and also all defined benefit plans that in some circumstances, even though, say, investment performance in the form of market returns are not as good as they are in some circumstance or what we expect or anticipate them to be, our liabilities keep growing even if our assets are diminished. And we've always seen that as maybe somewhat of a problem area. We're in a position right now that looking forward, we need to make some changes because the demographics of the group is changing. We're living longer. We're starting work later. We're approaching employment in the public sector somewhat differently now than what it was many years ago. And we're trying to come up with some new ideas that will help sustain the plan and balance the benefit features for all the members in the plan. And that's really what's driving us to take these steps to really make sure that this plan is available to people who are just getting started in public employment today or those that haven't even started yet, but 20 years or 40 years or 60 years from now will be drawing a benefit.
So what are some of the different aspects of a new proposed plan that are different than the current plan people are used to?
Probably the easiest one to mention and the most understandable is that with the longer life expectancies, we're looking at a normal retirement age that's 2 years greater than what it is right now. Right now we have an age 65 normal retirement age, and that's important because not only is that at the time what we look to pay benefits, but it also gives us a starting place for if someone leaves earlier, we know how to adjust the benefits based on what we consider the normal. We would increase for new hires, and all of these proposals are just for people who haven't been employed in public service yet. Anyone who is currently in the plan, either in the form of an active member or an inactive member or a retiree taking a benefit, they will not be impacted by any of these changes. So the first one that I would say is probably the idea that we would move back to 67 for a normal retirement age, and that's the same age as what will be Social Security in the coming years. We'll actually also be going to 67.
That was something I'm wondering, because 65 has been this number that we're so used to. So to hear, well, 2 more years, that's different.
You know, it does seem like a big number, and actually it used to seem to me like a big number. Now that I'm getting a lot closer to that number, it doesn't seem so big. But what's happened is in our demographics in South Dakota and really all across the country, our life expectancies have changed dramatically. Even in just the last 10 years, we've gone from an average age of retirement of less than age 60 to now up to more than age 62, really 62 and a half. And part of this is a recognition by the part of employees that they're going to live longer and they need to have a plan that will support them longer. And one of the places that they see that able to accomplish that is that they just have to work a little longer. So far, the demographics work out sometimes in funny ways, in that the cost of insurance, the fact that we had a downturn in the markets that hurt virtually everyone, all kind of push people to change their decision model. But at the same time, maybe it's better keeping with now a life expectancy that's, for most people, is certainly into their 80s. If they retire at 62 or 65, they expect to live another 20 years.
And you're talking about 67 for normal retirement age. There's also that early retirement for people like police officers, things like that. That age changes too.
Yes, it is. And those that are in what is called the Class B public safety have a normal retirement of age 55 today. That would also change to 57. It is actually also is in keeping with that group also that we've seen the ages of the people who are in that class getting higher as far as when they retire. And it fits also with their demographic right now. Likewise, in both those cases, individuals can retire 10 years earlier than that, but they take reductions based on taking the earlier benefits. You make an adjustment so that the equivalent benefit payment is less at an early age, but it pays you for this, for that longer period of time.
How do the benefits change when it comes to reaping the rewards of contributing to the system for so many years? What does that look like?
In the current plan, we have a number of features, and people know them typically by the term rule of 85 or rule of 75, special retirement features where we, and at the time it seemed like the right answer for the right situation, but the situation has changed a little bit. But we pay a subsidy to someone who meets a rule of 85 where their age and years of service, once they reach age 55 for a general employee, if they've worked 30 years, they can take a early retirement benefit without a reduction. What's happened in that situation is we're effectively subsidizing that group of people to take early retirement. At this point in time, when we're already seeing our workforce diminishing, we're hearing from a lot of employers saying that this is actually working out in the wrong way, because people that they need to keep, sometimes because they can take that retirement at that age, are seeing that as too much of an incentive, and we're losing some people that we wouldn't otherwise lose. And so that's part of the influence in our trying to take out what are, in essence, subsidized benefits like the rule of or some of the other early retirement features. And so we're trying to, in essence, pay a higher benefit based on the multiplier that determines the benefit, but not give so many incentives on the early end so that we're losing people we don't want to lose. It's really more of a restructuring of the benefit. There's costs are exactly the same for the two structures, but it really moves things along the demographic scale of age and service higher than where we are right now as far as early retirements with long service.
Tell me about trying to keep the program sustainable and with a solid foundation as far as, making sure that you're funding it appropriately, but protecting it from the lows of the market.
You can't hardly read the paper anymore in this section of public employment information. So many of the other plans around the country are struggling to make ends meet. And here in South Dakota, we've been able to do that. But what we're trying to look at into the future is make sure, even in the situation where we have ebbs and flows in the market, that we have automatic safeguards against the plan being hurt. One of the features that we have right now that is a terrific help in our being able to ebb and flow with the marketplace is that our COLA moves up and down depending on the funding of the system. That is when the markets return lower and the funding is not as high, we don't pay as high of a COLA. And it sounds like a small thing, but in the example of the COLA, 25% of the costs of a retirement plan like SDRS are actually built into the COLAs. How much time you spend in retirement and how those benefits compound is a huge impact. So by taking things like that, like the COLA, and flexing them on the margin, depending on how well-funded you are, will help sustain you when the market falls. Probably one of the most interesting features we're adding into this new plan for what will be these future new hires is a variable benefit feature that adds, in essence, like a defined contribution account, like an IRA, what we think of as an IRA, under the umbrella of SDRS. You still have all the benefit structure of SDRS, but you allocate some of the dollars to a variable account. The variable account then rises in the good times but falls in the bad times, and so it moves with the market instead of always having an increase in the liabilities that in the form of benefit payments. That portion will be dependent on what your balance is at the time that you retire. Even though you have a defined benefit on the other side, this piece of your benefit will rise and fall with the marketplace and also protect the plan from tough times. But interestingly enough, it will also reward members in the good times.
There are a lot of moving pieces to this, aren't there?
It is something we've been working on for a long time. Some of the features here have gone back in our discussions even a decade. But in the last 2 years, the board meets quarterly, and every single meeting we've talked about how to fine-tune and how this would fit into a workforce like the workforce here in South Dakota that is a mature workforce, but at the same time, we need to support those people but also give the young people that want to join something that they see as more valuable. Certainly, as a young person, those variable pieces, they're very interested in that kind of thing instead of just the defined benefit. So we think it better fits maybe with the demographic and the workforce of tomorrow. Nobody's crystal ball is perfect at this. We're talking about people who will start benefits from the program in 30 or 40 or 50 years. We're looking pretty far out here, but we're getting a pretty good idea of what we think will be important things to the people involved, but also important to employers in maintaining those workforces and helping them through what will ultimately be times like this, where we have a big group of people retiring right now and making sure that you can find people to replace them.
And important to stress that this doesn't impact those people who are already part of the plan. I know you said it, but it's just one thing that I feel like we need to remember throughout the whole thing.
I appreciate you saying that, because that will be probably the most difficult piece to our communication and knowledge, is that people who have been in this plan, of course, lots of people have been in this plan for 20 and 30 and 40 years, and maybe they're nearing retirement. We want to make sure they know this is not an impact on them.
Rob Wiley, the Executive Director of the South Dakota Retirement System, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me to visit with you.